You have a Gvuris.
Yeah, I have one in front of me.
Okay, so Gvuris, in a certain sense, it might be his first sefer after Gur Aryeh. It's hard to tell. I once ran a computer check, and almost all Sfarim are cross-referenced in other Sfarim. So that means he obviously had one version that he then annotated and fixed. So it's hard to tell a clear-cut first version. I mean, Gur Aryeh definitely is first. But there's a sense that Gvuris Hashem certainly was the most popular work. It was used and printed many times before. The other ones were almost never printed. So it has a lot of fundamental stuff on different inyanim in Amunis and Deis, and that's that. So he has three akdamas, which is quite unusual, and each akdama deals with a whole fundamental topic, with a whole inyan. Okay, let's see the first akdama. The first akdama really deals with what are the type of things that a person needs to, can look into and think about, and so on and so forth. Kvoid alekim hasta dava, or kvoid malachim chakar dava. So there's a pasuk that divides up two areas of a person's attitude towards which are things that we should treat as beholden, and which are things that we treat as permissible, and I guess more than permissible, but obligated to research. So kvod elokim has to dava, kvod malachim chakar dava. The kvod of elokim is has to dava, and which is to hide and not to look into, delve into things that are called elokim, or kvod malachim chakar dava. And those things that are called malchus, malachim, the covet is chakar dava. The Medrash Beishas Rabbah, it says, Reb Levi Shem Reb Chama Reb Chanina, Mitchila Sefer Breishis Ad Vayechulu Kvod Elokim Hasta Dava, Mikan Veil Chakar Dava. So, Breishis, the Torah is divided into the first parasha, there's Kvod Elokim Hasta Dava, and there's Kvod Elokim Chakar Dava. So that means, in regards to Hashem, there are actually sort of two strata of revelation. One is revelation that we're told not to delve into, that it's something that it's covered is the Haster Shabbo, and there's something where the cover is Chakar Dava. As an aside, it's one of the reasons why any type of pilpul, so to speak, in Breishis, meaning about creation, the various scenarios that try to match up the science perspective, Torah perspective. I have a problem with it because the Torah perspective is very, very unclear, and it's meant to be unclear. In the sense is, the Torah doesn't tell us much about it, and the Torah doesn't mean to tell us much about it, and doesn't. It's there just to tell us there was a creation. Creation has a certain structure. It has certain segments to it. And that's about as much as we could get out of the psukim, but it's not the part of it's not the part that going into it is going to make us much smarter. He's going to deal with a different ikuda.
Rabbi, let me ask you.
Yes.
First of all, can you hear me? Okay.
Excellent.
Okay, great. So I just I was just putting in my earphones for one part of what you said. You said, regarding people who try to reconcile science and kind of Bereishis, you say you do have a problem with them doing that?
I said I have a problem because we really don't know what Bereishis says. You know, this is the area of Torah that Chazal say, Kvod Elokim Hasta Dava. The intent of the psukim is not to be terribly revealing. In other words, the big picture, we have some definites. Hashem created everything from nothing. Hashem created things in phases. Hashem created things with a certain structure and certain purposes. Those are things we can divine out of it. But to be able to really be mepalpal in the psukim, you know, it's veiled. It's something which is kind of beholden. So I just kind of always a little bit wary of it, because I don't think we can figure out the details. Certainly not from the psukim, and certainly not this is the piece of the puzzle that's sort of away from us.
Okay. And also, do I remember? I think it's Ramban who says that certainly in Parshas Bereishis, all the inyanim of Mayim and those other things, any words it uses referring to something specific, but not something according to our common sense
He speaks about different type of matter and so on. So whatever it is, and the Ramban himself, when he tries to give his interpretation of the Medrash that Rashi brings, why did the Torah start with the story of Bereishis? The Ramban's point is that since most people don't understand it and can't understand it, then what's the point of it? That's the way he says. You know, it's something that will not be understood. So why share it? That's how he understands the Medrash's problem.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go on to what his point. His point is going to explain why is it that there's an area that's going to be hastadava. What is it that we're dealing with that deserves to be hidden? Why would it be hidden? So he says like this: Lema shehoya hasagas ha'adam misyacheses al ha'adam b'meshu hasagasoi mechuyev mizeh shehadava shu musag leyanivdol mikol v'kol min adam amasik. Says when you're trying to understand something, it's postulated. He's postulating and takes it as something that's obvious, that the thing I am trying to behold is something that shares some common area with me. If you don't have anything in common with the thing you're trying to understand, you cannot understand it. Let's take some simple examples. A person who was born blind cannot really share information in a meaningful way about sight or really, really understand sight and anything about it. A person who comes from a very alien culture can't understand something because, he might be able to learn the culture, but until he does that, he can't. But things that are fundamentally distinct from us, we can't grasp it. The word grasp it means to have a real handle on it. Grasping something, understanding something, means where I connect the thing I'm trying to understand with something that I have within me. So if you come and tell me you saw an orange-colored flying saucer, I may never have seen orange-colored flying saucers, but orange is something that's kind of that I have experience with, and saucers and flying, so I can relate to it. Whereas if you tell me, something that I never had any experience that relates to it in any way, I can't relate to it. So something which is totally distinct, because it's distinct, so therefore we cannot have any real understanding or grasp of things that are alien to us and we don't share anything in common. V'zehu ha'siba shalei niska b'teira b'feirush olam haba o hash'aras ha'nefesh ha'chamisa. That's why there is nothing in the Torah does not write anything about olam haba. This is a fundamental question which has been posed, and the Rishonim speak about it, as to why olam haba is not mentioned in the Torah. If Olam Haba or Tchias HaMesim is something so important, why does the Torah talk about it beforeish? I mean, why doesn't it say anything anywhere about it? Now, it's interesting because, you know, in the outside world, if you take any text that describes Judaism, you know, the commonly accepted academic understanding is that Jews don't believe it. The early Hebrews did not believe in it until they'll either give you Daniel or they'll give you the rabbis, because it doesn't appear anywhere. And yes, there's a little remnants here, remnants there, but it's certainly something that you can't, doesn't say mefurish. And the question is, why not? The Kli Yoker in Bechukosai brings a summation of all the sheets that are shown, and Abar Benel speaks about it. In Megidim Bechukosai, since Bechukosai deals with the reward and punishment in this world, that's even a more sharper a question, because here the Torah is talking about the Schar and Onesh, and the Torah is not mentioning this at all. So, yeah. So he brings all the Shitas. So he says, She'ilu ha'yediv Torah k'mamelech v'asav adam. He said, if Torah was written in the way we would write something, Shumazeh zavodav sheyavet savosai, v'az yiskul eskar ha'tov shumavtiach olsom. If the Torah was written in a way where it's an incentive, listen, Chevra, if you do good things and the right things, the wonderful things, you will get rewarded greatly. If not, not. So he says, then certainly would say it. So basically, the Torah is kind of an advertisement. Do these things because they'll bring you great pleasures, and don't do it because you'll be hurt terribly if you don't. If you do the Averis, then it makes a lot of sense. So the Torah is something else. He says, Torah is something which came through Nevuah. It's a communication. In other words, when I tell you something terrible is awaiting you there, or something great is awaiting you there, I'm not actually communicating the thing itself. I'm just kind of telling you, warning about it. To communicate it means I give you a sense of that experience. So the Torah is a communication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a Navi through Nevuah. We were all Nevi'im at Har Sinai. And therefore, something that L'kachat Vorem B'Torah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so things have to be able to be grasped by a Navi. V'advorem ha'elu hem nivdolim min olam ha'gach ve'enei ha'utziyas. And Olam Haba and life after death is something which is not part of physical experience. It's not something that we have any experience with that we can share it. So just like Olam Haba is of a nature that is not something that is in our experience, so understanding it, also we can't understand it because it's not, it is no overlapping. And a Navi cannot grasp something that really is beyond a person. Because there's a big difference in Chochmah and Nevuah. Ki Chochmah yasig mitzad sichlo. U'mekim shiyasig mitzad sichlo, yuchel hasig advarim and lomim v'nistarim b'yoysim. Let's pause a minute and explain what he's going to say. The Gemara says, he's going to bring the Gemara later, that a chacham is out of minavi, he's going to bring it immediately, soon. Chachma can work. For instance, let's take an example. If you're good at math, I can give you a formula that has no physical correspondent to it. Nothing in the world corresponds physically to it as of now. We even have things like that. We have, I, as the imaginary number, doesn't correspond to anything it concrete. It doesn't make sense. There is nothing in this world that is a square root of minus one, but I is a wonderful number. The word is number is not right, but it's a wonderful symbol. And I can say things about it, even though I don't have any real sense of the thing itself. I can just say about it. Let's give another example. I can come into a totally alien culture, and I walk into some sort of temple, and I'm clueless. I know nothing about what they worship and how they worship and so on. But I'm a very sweet person, and I can make out certain things. This guy seems to be the head of it. these guys seems this. I can use certain chachma, criteria of chachma, to deal with it, even though I really don't have any idea what it is. And a lot of physical phenomena, when we deal with physics at a very, very small level, we can make some wonderful points, even though it makes no sense whatsoever. These things doesn't make any sense, but it works. And that's chachma. Chachma allows me to abstract, to work in the abstract, even though I don't share any sense of the thing. Meaning, nothing that ever strikes my senses, it matches up to those experiences.
Rabbi, I'll be asking.
Yes.
Just to interject one sure. thing, though. You're right about the number I being that.
Right.
But I still was seen as a whole in mathematics, that in order to complete certain operations or reach certain solutions,
correct,
indicated or implied that the number I must exist, a certain cubic formulas that you could solve by
correct.
Introducing
correct.
I as an intermediate result.
So
it was still based on a chachma that was originally derived from our experiences in the world,
correct.
Abstract.
Correct. I'm just giving sort of a picture of here you have something which is, let's take something like whether light is a wave or a particle. At the end of the day, we can't picture something that's both, but we can work out and say, these are the rules, in these cases we'll treat it like this, in these cases we'll treat it like this, and this is... And we could be right about it and do marvelous things with it. We couldn't have, we're talking over fire's wires now, and there's knowledge that comes about through an input in senses, and where I share common experience, and I can see and hear it either by directly or by hearing the description of it, and there are things that I can know with seichel. And I can understand the construction and the structure of it, but it doesn't meet up with anything. For instance, I can make the statement that after you die, you live, your neshama lives, and therefore I should do those things that help my neshama live after I die, and I need not to be totally devastated when someone dies because I know his neshama is still living there. So I can do all that. I still have yet to meet a neshama in the street. You know, it's something which my senses, I need to sort of block out my senses and still work out the chachma. So chachma can grasp things, because the way chachma works, it doesn't grasp things, but it knows things, and it can know things that its senses have never crossed path with anything like it.
Yep. Point taken. That's a good point.
Yes. So that's what he says here. So he says like this: Ki hefeish ben chacham and nevuah, ki a chacham yasig mitzad sichle. A chacham understands from a seichel, umikibun shu yasig mitzad sichlo, yuchal lahasig dvarim nelom yisterem b'yaser. So he can know the most hidden things. Avol hanavi yikari choze oroa. A navi is called a seer. Sheshayach roa b'mashu roa adav miyochutz. A seer needs to perceive something. Therefore, every Navi needs to be somewhat have a connection with the thing he has in the Nevuah about. And he knows them because of his Nevuah. So, on the other hand, yeah, sorry.
Sorry, can I just interject a question?
Yes, please.
So, when he says the Navi sees things, I understand, certainly, ultimately, can't be Nivdal Na'adam. Because it was totally nivdal from an Adam, Navi or not, no one would understand it.
Right.
But is the Nevuah that the Navi experiences opening up a sense, a kind of a sense of perception that most people haven't experienced, and he all of a sudden experiences a different dimension of perception? Or is it that it, and then he translates it into commonplace images that the rest of us can understand? Or is it that the Navi himself just saw things in terms of those images?
As it may be in Matan Torah, it's irrelevant, because Matan Torah, we all had to sort of get that sense, and we were all Nevi'im, and therefore the Torah that was given could only be, if it fits everyone's devor, everyone was in the same boat at the time. So the Navi, so for instance, when a Navi sees an image, a pot boiling in the north or whatever it is, and we say, yes, this is the trouble that's brewing up in the north, and that's where the bad is going to come from. So at least that sort of intersects with a certain, I understand what it means that they'll invade from Bavel, but when you talk about Olam Haba, so there's nothing there that can, no amount of imagery can convey Olam Haba. Imagery can convey to me, like you go through all the pictures that Nevi'im had, they can convey different things in this world through a picture. They can't convey anything Olam Haba through a picture because there's nothing in common. Yeah. Okay, so he says, Ulefikachom chacham chacham adav minavi. And that's what Chazal meant when they said chacham is adav minavi. He says, prophecy to some degree is like another sense. I actually saw, it's very interesting, I read an article recently that that migratory birds, how, you know, one of the fascinating issues is how do they know where to go? You know, what's their navigation system? And they have a sense to feel the magnetic field of the earth.
Yep.
So I can, we can talk about it. It makes a lot of sense. So we can say X. They can feel this amount of magnetism, and they interpret it this way and that way. And I can confuse it with this or that or the other. I can get a lot of data and experiments on it. I still, no one is ever going to know what it feels like to feel magnetism. Is it like a pulling feeling? Is it like a tickling feeling? Is it like, where is it? You know, it's not something that we have no way of doing it. So he says every prophecy is sort of it's like a seeing something in the sense that it needs some sense to relate to. Even though it's not seeing in a physical sense, just like when you see something, there's a connection between your eye and the thing that's being seen. It's got to register. It's got to be light waves that register in your retina. So that means your retina and the light waves have a point of commonness. They're sensitive to it. So the koach hanevuah of a navi, which is another sense, it's a sense to Mikal Nevuah, Shemizdavik Bedavah Shemizdavolov. It whatever it is that's being transmitted to him crosses over that path of the receptor for that. And so that means I need to have a specific receptor for that. And if I don't, it's just not going to. So I can deal with it with magnetic field with Seichel. I can't deal with it with Chush. So that's the angle with which it's superior. I want to just add a point. There's a flip side to it, obviously, also. A Navi has a Mila over a Chacham in the sense that he can really connect to those things in a way that a Chacham can't. We usually have, for instance, let's take an example. When I tell a person, in the old days, I don't know how old you are, but when I was young, there was a big, that's when they started really pushing that cigarettes are dangerous for you and your health, and there was some backlash from cigarette companies that it's not true, they haven't proven it scientifically, you can't show it, they're not back and forth until they finally did. Then, I don't know if you remember that, Gutkufa, when everybody...
I'm that old, yes.
Yes. In my days, cigarette smoking was a very respectable adult activity. That was what, adults smoked. Children were not allowed to smoke with adults. It was considered to be very healthy for you for some reason. That was that. And then, I came up with this thing. Now, so all, quote unquote, all that's needed, l'chura, that people should not smoke, is a statement, an unequivocal statement by the Surgeon General and the AMA and so on, that, yes, scientific smoking has been proven to be hazardous to health with this and this percentage of hazard. That's not terribly effective. Pictures of people choking to death on cancer and the gruesome pictures of people with all sorts of, operations and cancer and stuff like that tend to get the message across. Even though there's no information added, I mean, yes, it's like when I tell you this and this is what happens, and then I tell the person, why don't you use your own imagination? The answer is, A, we don't, and B, until you don't use imagination, it's not that you dispute or debate the facts, but, the facts don't really impact you. And that's the difference between a Navi and a Chacham. So a Chacham can reach further out, but they don't impact it. Even in terms of how committed you are to believing that what you're seeing is true. When you figure something out with Seichel and Chacham, you're not so convinced, and if somebody shakes your, and he shows you some different a different set of numbers and so on and so forth, you're not all that convinced. When you see something physically, phenomena that sort of sets you off, then you are pretty convinced. That's human nature. So he says, so there's some sort of, the Koach HaMedame is the medium of, Medame is usually translated as imagination. It's a certain sense of a person that can deal with things that are not in front of him and yet project certain things. So Chacham is better for that reason. That's why a Navi is called a seer and so on. By the way, and a point, that's the reason why when it comes to paskening a shayla, a Navi has no standing whatsoever as a Navi. I mean, a Navi may also be a Talmud Chacham, it's not a stira. But when a Navi comes along and says, I received prophecy about this shayla, that shayla, other shayla, he's put to death because he's not allowed to. He can't. The Rambam writes about this in his Akdamah to the Bereshit Mishnah. He's very strongly, he describes it very vividly, because halacha is determined by Seichel and by Das. But the Navi is the one who comes and gives Musar, the Klal Yisrael. The purpose of the Nevuah, like it says in the Gemara, that the Nevuah we have is the Nevuah that was given, whatever was needed for generations, that's the Nevuah we have. That's Nevuah that is, it has a lot more of an impact because of what it is. That's why it's not possible for Olam Haba and Hasharas HaNefesh to come Nevuah. It's not possible to have any visual connection. Olam Haba, Olam HaNeshamos, is an experience of a realm that it doesn't intersect with the physical world. And we don't have any sense that senses the spiritual world. We just don't have it. And therefore, it's not possible to have Nevuah that will see Olam Haba, feel it, relate it.
It seems like there's a Gemara I remember. I just don't remember what Masechet it was in, when it talks about, it compares the Yayin in a Navim, that the scar for Sadik and all about it. Says, what is it? Scar, Sadik, Ayelo Rasa.
Yes, that he brings the next Gemara. It's Gemara and Brachas that he brings. Right. He actually brings that Gemara. So that's the next piece that he actually brings. And he'll and yes, he uses that as sort of we'll see the second.
Okay.
Shachom azon alavia. The kachachom arav minovi mashu yochel asik dov shef shen nevuah. Shekoach nevuah misdam lechusha ayin amakavu mukhoshim bachutz. Nevuah is like an eye which receives its input from the outside. Veich efshel yos nichta v'torim haba she'ein zemin nevuah. Ki mi sheyeda chiluk asheish bein achok v'nanovi yeda ki efshel dov zeh ke nevuah misdam dov shef shen nevuah. Repeating what I said before. And now he brings that Gemara that you said. Kol ha-neviyim lo nesnaba limois ha-mashiach, avo olum haba, ayin liras ha-zolasecha.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he said. That olum mashiach is a perfected stage of this world. It's a physical world, except run in a very, very positive way. You have a melech. The Rambam, if you take a look at the Rambam, Mashiach is in Hilchos Malachim, because Mashiach is it's a reality, it's a halachic reality, and he has dinim. Mashiach, how do we recognize Mashiach? What are the halachs of Mashiach? Mashiach is a type of king, and he falls under Hilchos Malachim. And Olam Hab, Tchias HaMeisim, is there as a belief. But there's nothing there in terms of, there is no, halachas of Tchias HaMeisim or Olam Haba, anything like that. It's just a belief that there is a thing like that. Bir nizeh, ki me'acha she'tzorach nevuah ri'iyah, and that's the lashon lo ruasa zulasecha, v'yezdabkuz mechutz v'ashedim nevuah, lo hoyuchol l'snabos rakim osa Mashiach. So nevuah could only last the furthest it could go is the Yemos HaMashiach. Rak Yemos HaShiach b'Mashiach Mashiach u'in Olam Hazeh ve'renid v'olam ligamri shereb Olam Hazeh. Aval Olam Haba shenivdom Olam Hazeh eibo nevuah ke'ayin l'ros also ve'nanovi misnabi rak b'ir'iyah k'moy she'yisqayah. So therefore, a Navi could only say about things that are within the realm of some physical elements to it that he can share with it. Now he says, "Omnom b'toyrek siv lirmas olam haba." Yeah, there are many remazim to olam haba. The siv arach the yamim lalom shekulei aruch ki arichas yamim. So he says the Torah uses language which sits well with this world phenomena, like living long, and so when he speaks about arichus yamim, what we're saying is that it will last long. There will not be a hefsek. We're describing sort of a periphery aspect of it rather than the Olam Haba itself. So yes, the Torah says Varach de Yomim, so that tells us there is continuous existence, but it doesn't tell us in any way what that is like. Aval Sheizoch Olam Haba Tzaratzmo. In other words, there's no statement about the Olam Haba, just telling you, you will not cease to exist. That's the real pshat why in Torah Nevi'im there is no Zeich of Olam Haba. Yes.
Good. I hear all that, but there are some things though in this world that this world is ultimately connected to Olam Haba, as far as I understand, and there are some things that you can have a bit of a time, even if it's 1/60th of Shabbos, maybe learning a good tosfos, whatever it is.
So that's why Rav Huttner has a klal, and it's really the maral, and that in Torah, the dimension of Torah within which something is expressed is very much part of the message. The medium is very similar to the message. So things that are very pshat, and they are at face value as they are, find their way to pshat. Things that are a remes, in other words, like you said, when you say something is 1/60th of something, in English you would say it has a hint of the other thing. It's got a hint of that flavor. So you're expressing that idea that it's only some time of it. It's not the thing itself. It's a time of so there's a me'ein olam haba, but it's not more than that, and that's why we can't express it directly. Through any way but pshat, we're in good shape, because then you don't have to tackle the thing head on. As soon as we're trying, but if we try to describe it in words, in direct words, I think that we'd be lost. It's interesting. The Rambam, in his Akdama Techelet, he writes about it, and he says the people who ask all these questions about Olam Haba. Then gives like a whole list of questions about this or that or the other thing. He says the questions themselves kind of give away that these people are the type of people that they have no shares to Olam Haba. In other words, if you try to put it into dimensions, well, you know, is the weather good in Olam Haba? How's the food? I mean, he has whatever, he has a whole bunch of things there.
Yeah, the Magashim, the whole concept.
Right. So they're automatic. He said the question says that the person has no shaykhus to it. And this is one of the reasons why Chachmas of Sod, of Kabbalah, is also, because even talking about it, you're talking about things that you really, we can't associate with anything else we've sensed. So we have to keep abstracting and talking about things, you know, just the kind of the structure of it. So you speak about right and left. There's no right, there's no left in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the idea that there's two parallel mirror images, the concept of a mirror image in Hanhagas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not an easy feat to keep thinking of things abstract. You have a vocabulary of words that are kind of physical, and they're all meant just to show different abstractions. Not very easy for people to do that. Okay, I think we'll hold it here. It's a good place to stop.
Okay.
Okay. So, Be'ez Hashem. So I think Skype is a good way to go, and for many ways it's easier.
Okay, good. So I should call you on Skype next week.
Yeah, Be'ez Hashem. Okay.
Okay.
A good vach.
Good vach. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.